Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the Brothers for Real radio show. We are here every Tuesday at 7 o'clock discussing real issues in the realest way. We are four brothers. We actually brothers. That's why we call Brothers for Real. Now what we try to do is provide commentary, talk about some of these issues that are affecting us on a daily basis. But what we really want to do is to create some legacy, to get ourselves into a mindset so that our ambition is not just to get a check for the next week, but to build some type of legacy, something we can pass on to future generations. And it doesn't always have to be financial. We can pass on wisdom. We can pass on knowledge. We can pass on health. We can pass on so many intangibles, but in order to do that, we have to have the right mindset. We have to understand what's important. We have to get out of this mentality that somebody's going to do something for us. We have to get out of this mentality that the odds are stacked against us, and they are in some cases, but we are a very determined people, and history has shown that we can and will continue to overcome quite a few odds and barriers. This is the last show we're going to have before Christmas. Now, there are other holidays, of course, we're celebrating this time of year. There's Hanukkah, there's Ramadan, there's Kwanzaa. But Christmas is the one that probably affects the most people, and that's where we were raised on. And so I'd just like to welcome everybody to the Brothers for Real radio show. Call in if you want to talk to us, 646-787-1967. That's 646-787-1967. And if you want to talk or join the conversation, just press the 1 key on your dial, and that'll raise your hand, and I'll see you. and I will bring you on to the conversation. I'd like to welcome my brothers to the stage, to the mic. Hey, brothers.
Hey, hey Robert.
Hey, God bless you, brother. God bless you.
Is my phone messing up? Does my phone sound like it's breaking up? Or is it just me over here?
Sound I heard okay? something. We'll keep going. It sounds like I heard something, but I wasn't sure what it was.
All right. Well, anyway, brothers, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. This is another Brothers
Welcome,
Real
man.
Radio
doing,
show.
Yeah,
man, I'm doing good. Boy,
good.
I have been busier than a one-arm paper hanger today. You know, this time of year, in my line of work, I don't know about what you guys do. I mean, I know what you do, but I don't know what your work load looks like. But this time of year, if you are a business developer, a marketer, a web person, a social media person, a branding person, everybody wants something by the first of the year. Now, that's cool. I don't mind that. I'm good with that. But you shouldn't wait until December the 20th to tell me. You should have told me that back in October. So jacked up. That's messed up. Well, anyway, that's okay. I deal with it, though. I deal with it the best I can. I made an announcement on my radio show on Radio 1 and said, look, I'm not taking any more new clients after November 30th. Do you know a lady actually emailed me on November 30th at 11:57 at night? She said, Mr. Gatewood,
like
I heard you on the show.
You sound like a dentist. You sound like
a dentist
or something.
But Leon, man, look, I be trying. Hey, look, man, I want to go out here and carol and play with Santa. And I ain't gonna say Santa Claus, go curse or get me. But I want to go out here and do Christmas like everybody else.
Yeah, I'm listening, brother.
The phone got hot. Hey, Leon, the phone got hot all of a sudden when I said Santa Claus.
Ain't nothing about Santa Claus that dude, but. I think Santa Claus pissed him off somewhere along the way, personally, you know.
Hey, Kerry, you still doing your boycott Santa Claus?
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't necessarily announce it every year, but, you know, we do it by making sure we make clear that we're not going to go into debt because somebody else said that this is Santa Claus and we should try to make children believe that this is Santa Claus and we should therefore go out and buy spend things and all this other stuff to try to make sure our children know about Santa Claus. I'm saying, you know, we're not pressured to lie. We're not pressured to buy.
Curtis, I like the rhyme. But you know what you said there, Curtis? You said it wasn't necessarily an active it's more the theme, the spirit, the movement has been launched. And once you get the mindset or you knock the ball down the wheel, you don't have to just go down there and kick it every 5 minutes.
Right.
And
exactly.
So what you did when you, I guess about 10, 20 years ago, you kicked that ball down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so people kind of like, well, let's, even though sometimes people don't necessarily say it, they don't articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
That seed has been planted in their minds, and that's what you want.
Right.
And that's really what a movement is about.
Exactly.
So
and appreciate you acknowledging
appreciate
it that way.
That.
Because, like I said, we don't have to go out every year and say we're going to. And again, I didn't ever really call it a boycott Santa Claus. We were saying boycott Santa's cost. And his costs us spiritually and financially. Yeah.
All right, folks, welcome again. This is Brothers. I have Leon and Curtis. Guys, let's quickly give your introductions, and then we jump into the content tonight. Leon, you want to start us off there, brother?
Yeah, man, I'll start off tonight because, you know, I always leave out this part about me being a DJ. And this past weekend, I had a play called a Marvin Chapter of Los Amigos Christmas Party.
Mm-hmm.
This organization's 30th year in the community. They've given out thousands of dollars of scholarship money, you know, stuff like that. So I'd like to give a shout out to them today, tonight. And a shout out to Mr. Carl Ratliff, who was the entertainment for the evening, along with me as the DJ. He's a saxophonist,
right.
A jazz saxophone player, man. That guy played that horn.
He is, man. I did look at that video, man. He's unbelievable. Wow.
I'm
a big Grover Washington fan, and he gave Grover Washington, I'm telling you. Grover, I know he's gone on, I believe, but wow, that was something that I saw. I was like,
did he play Mr. Magic? What did he play?
He played Mr. Magic. He did. He played Mr. Magic, and then he did a Kenny G number. One of his, I think it was Silhouette. Yeah.
He did that, man.
I mean, he was there, brother. He was there. So I want to give that brother a shout out, man. I told him I got his number and stuff. I'm going to get up with him and get him to do some things for us, man.
Absolutely.
I had heard him play a few times, but Saturday night, he took it to the top, boy.
In fact, he's so good to me, we shouldn't even be able to afford him. I don't even know how he ended up in Holland and those different places I saw, based upon what I heard.
Hey, yeah. Curtis, keep it real tonight, man. He cut into my fee. He cut into my money.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to. Based upon what I saw, I mean, I can't call up Grover and come down to the Holler Center. I mean, or you can't call up, you know, the best saxophonist. And, you know, so I'm just saying I think he's probably underrated.
Yeah, he's bad, man. But also, Robert, like I say, also today I met with the Community Outreach Coordinator, Miss Savvy. She's a young lady, North Carolina Central University graduate. She's been brought into our community.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's the Community Outreach Coordinator for the Health Department in Anson County. And
mm-hmm.
we were discussing on days that she could use the Holler Center for community outreach. And she has kind of three priorities, three health priorities in Anson County. And those, that being obesity, teenage pregnancy, and gonorrhea. Those are three of the problems, one of the three of the primary problems that are plaguing our community right now. And we discussed that
mm-hmm.
and how we could best use the Holler Center to address those issues. But we'll talk about that later. But it's some serious things going on in our communities. And I always, when I talk about our community, you know, you hear a lot of ooh, ahs. But seriously, people, look into your communities and see what's going on. There's some serious stuff going on in the communities that are affecting our people, and we need to really address them. We can't continue to ignore that. Yes, sir.
What is good is when you say things that are going on in the community, that's good and bad. I think
mm-hmm.
the good things, like what you're doing and what Curtis are doing, those are good things. So people need to tap into those good things. And when we see something that's where we're coming up short, where there's problems, where there's dysfunction, then we need
mm-hmm.
to find out who can we join, what forces can we marshal to tackle those problems.
Exactly.
So that's a two-headed monster.
See, and that's what the health department is doing. That's what they've hired this young lady to do, and we should do more of. Reach out into the
mm-hmm.
community and find the things in our community that are working. And jump on their
right.
jump on their backs, you know, and ride them.
Well, Leon, that is important, and that's something that's a message that's a drum we need to beat more often, because oftentimes people, they're always asking, "What can I do?" They really don't know what to do in some cases. So
right.
we pick up the mouthpiece and the bullhorn. We need to yell from the top of the mountain, "Hey, look, we're over here doing it. Join me." Until you can start
right.
on your own, join what I'm doing. And if you want to grow and let us plant the seed and you go out and germinate and do it somewhere else, that's all the merrier. But everybody should be doing something. Thank you, Leon.
Hey,
Rum Curtis.
Hey, man, I tell you, thank you, Robert. First of all, man, I just thank God for this platform. I appreciate what you're doing here as an example of what you talked about, because we cannot underestimate the need for media in the African-American community that's not biased, brainwashed, sold out, and everything else. So we first want to thank you for providing a platform where people can hear truth, they can hear hope, and they can also find ways that they can get involved, as you talked about. I'm Reverend Curtis Gatewood. I am Curtis E. Gatewood. He is for Everett. I'm not Charlie, last name Wilson, even though I can say, like Charlotte Wilson says it very well these days, yes, I'm blessed. I appreciate every opportunity I get to be able to say that I'm blessed, because what I'm trying to do with what I'm working with, we started, and thanks to Robert and Leon, who basically have helped me to launch Justice Ministration. Justice is the acronym for Jesus Uniting Souls to Increase Community Engagement. What we're trying to do with that is use faith, go back and reclaim the faith that brought us this far, and use faith as a platform and a source of strength. A lot of times we didn't have financial wealth, but we were able to overcome hardship through spiritual wealth. And so we don't want to underestimate the power and the strength behind faith. So what we're doing through Justice Ministration, we're trying to call on other organizations, like what Leon is doing there, the example he gave. Of course, Leon, the Hollis Center, is a part of what we're doing to try to collaborate efforts, but again, using faith. We don't want to underestimate faith. I've been a part of almost every kind of march, every kind of rally, been to jails, I don't know how many times, for civil disobedience. One of the things that I get a little concerned about is as I go to rallies, and I mean, I know people are going to do things differently, but there is no mentioning of God, which, you know, I understand everybody's not going to believe in God. I get that. But what I'm saying with my peace, as for me and my house and my movement, is to rehitch to that wagon of God, of power that's insurmountable, a power larger and higher than the presidency, higher than the Supreme Court, higher than any so-called supreme or white supreme race. So when spirit, when hitching to that wagon, then that's what makes me feel I'm undefeatable, that no weapon formed shall prosper. So that is why we are using the power of faith to not just have church and live offering, but to live hope, to live power, to live justice, and to defeat the Donald Trumps that we see around this country. And it's not just one in the White House. The Donald Trump we see in the White House is almost in every community with power and misusing it, abusing it, abusing women, abusing African Americans, children, abusing workers, and we are here to say enough is enough.
All right. Amen. All right. Well, folks, that's the brothers. That's Leon. That's Curtis. I am Robert Gatewood. I am the 10th child of Dr. Reverend W.H. Gatewood and Miss Geneva Gator Gatewood. I have a big family. Grew up down in Wadesboro. And I'm just glad to have the brothers here with me this evening, as we always do on Tuesday evening. I am a business developer by trade. I help companies grow, and it's been a very good year. I've helped so many companies this year. I'm just moved that so many companies and so many individuals have taken a step to build a legacy, something they can pass on to the next generation. And so I think I am truly fulfilling my life calling by helping these companies, taking them under my wings, and just kind of helping them meander through this minefield of being a business owner. And it's not for the weak of heart, I must say. Being a business owner is not something you just jump up and decide to do. You really have to have some type of guidance and some type of passion. And so what I try to do is help people unearth that passion that they have in them. Because sometimes people have the passion, but then they don't have the knowledge or the know-how. So sometimes you have to take the know-how and ignite the passion, and sometimes you have to take the passion and put some know-how behind it. And sometimes you have to do both. And so that's been my gift from God, and I'm glad to be able to share it with others.
Amen.
Before we go to the break, I just want to go through some the hashtag headlines. We're just going to talk about some of the things that are happening right now. For instance, the tax bill has passed the House, but found out that there needs to be a revote due to a procedural error. Now, this corrected bill should be approved by the Senate and signed by Trump as early as Wednesday. And I, what's interesting is that 12 Republicans actually voted against the bill, which is very unusual. Now, if you got 12 Republicans voting against something, you know there's something wrong, because these guys walk lock and stock just about 100% of the time. Now, this bill has 82% of the benefits go to the rich. Now, here's a, check out these numbers. Those earning $700,000 a year plus will see a tax break of $51,000 a year, while those earning less than $25,000 a year will see a whopping $60 a year. Now, I'm sure they can hardly sleep at night thinking about that, what they're going to do with that $60 windfall they're going to get. So they're like Santa Claus, waiting on Santa Claus. Wow, I'm going to get $60 this year. While the rich are getting $50,000 a year in tax breaks. That's not $5,000, $50,000 a year, while the average person making $25,000 or less is getting $60, not 60, not 600, $60. So think about this. If you're making $1 million a year, you really don't need a tax break. That's just pure, plain, simple common sense. So what's happening, Congress is taking care of their pimps and themselves, obviously. Here's an interesting number, too. Most Americans oppose the tax bill, which to me is really just another form of trickle-down racism. So it's really so that's what's going on with the tax bill. Now, we also found out that an Amtrak train jumped the track in Washington State, killing 3 people. I heard it was going 80 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour turn, so somebody's head is going to roll behind that. Let's see, what else is going on? Al Franken is still kind of hedging if he's going to reconsider or not. Since things are kind of changing, the landscape is changing, the Me Too movement is kind of getting a little pushback. So people like Franken are starting to say, hey, wait a minute here, did I jump too fast? The SEC has suspended the trading of Bitcoin, which is XBT on the stock market, until January 3rd. Now, you know Bitcoin went crazy. It hit $18,000 a coin, I think yesterday. It was up over $18,000. It fell back to $17,000 today. A lot of people are trying to wonder whether they should jump in or jump out. I mean, it's like anything else. It's hot now, but you don't know if it's a bubble or not. If you haven't gotten in it already, you may have missed the train. I would say read up on it before you put your money in it. In other words, look before you leap. Now, here's one that we're going to finish up after the break. Matter of fact, we're going to go ahead and take our break, and we're going to jump into our story. This is what else we're going to talk about to close out the show today. Remember that soap and a rope you got one year for Christmas? Remember that? I mean, what do you?
They still that, man.
Hey, what in the heck do you do with these Christmas gifts that you absolutely despise and hate? What do you do with them, folks? We're going to talk about that later on. What we're going to do right now, though, we got a. What we're going to do this particular moment, we are going to take a quick break, and folks, we're actually going to have some nice music for you this evening. And even when the show goes off tonight, we're going to have about another 10 minutes of Christmas music, holiday music. I want you to just sit back and relax. Got some of the old favorites that everybody loves. So hang on, folks. This is the Brothers For Real. If you want to call in, call 646-787-1967. And if you're on the line, we have a full bank of callers or listeners. If you want to join the conversation, hit the number 1 key on your pad, and that will raise your hand, and I'll bring you into the discussion. Be right back after the break.
Christmas time in the city. Hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
All right. I'd like to welcome you back to the Brothers for Real radio show. Feel free to join us at 646-787-1967. That's the call-in number. You can also catch us online at brothersforreal.com. We're also on Facebook at Brothers for Real. We're on Twitter at Brothers for Real. And we are on Instagram at Brothers for Real. Follow us, share us, tell people about this show. We're trying to make a difference out here. We don't just talk, folks. As you heard the brothers' introduction, these brothers are actually doing things. And we welcome, we have a big tent, and we invite you to join us, support us. And if you want to join the conversation or any of our movements or just do something to make a difference, then by all means, we ask you to do so. We have Mr. Smiley. Tabby Smiley has found himself caught up in the net. That just seems to be catching quite a few people. And this is his interview.
I certainly understand that there are persons who believe that there is no such thing as a consensual relationship in the workplace. I hear that. I even respect that point of view. But there are other opinions on this. In my employee handbook, we do not encourage inter-office relationships, but we don't forbid it either, because I don't know how things are going to turn out in your life when you start hanging out with our company. I don't know who you're going to meet. And let's face it, nobody's working 40-hour weeks anymore. We're working 40, 50, 60, 70, 80-hour weeks. Where else are you going to meet people? And this business, our business itself, is full of people, producers and talk show hosts who met on the job. So clearly there are millions of Americans who met their spouse at work. So I just don't think I have the right to tell people who to date. The problem here is that we're starting to criminalize legitimate relationships between consenting adults, and that's a real problem for me.
Well, brothers, I'm going to give you my take and let you all, you can join in. First of all, I do think that PBS is, I think when I was reading PBS's statement, I heard a little hinge of, we're going to put a black guy in his place. This guy's getting a little too uppity. He's got all these women over there he's sleeping with, and we're going to come in here and show him how to be good, honorable, good red-blooded Americans. I could sense that in the wording of their statement. It was not, it did, to me, it didn't sound very professional at all. It sounded like somebody wrote sitting around with a six-pack and a cigarette hanging out the side of their mouth. Let's just show this guy how we feel. That was the one thing I felt about this ordeal. The second opinion I have is that, and I've said it several times, it's not the first time I've said it, and personally, I think if you're going to meet your significant other at the job, if you're working in accounting and across the hall in the legal department, there's some little honey that caught your eye, and you guys are, one's not the boss of the other, you guys go to lunch, you thought they're hitting it off, you're feeling good about each other, you decide to take it to the next level. Like you say, there's nothing, as far as I'm concerned, those kind of things are unavoidable. Not necessarily a good idea, but it's unavoidable, and there's really nothing, I don't think there's anything that anybody should hold. There's really no negative in that, as far as other than you're working where you date. On the other hand, if you are that person's boss and you can determine that person's upward mobility or downward mobility, you have the power to fire that person to determine whether or not they get a raise, whether they get to go on vacation, whether they get benefits, whether they – or whatever. And that is where I have an issue with what Mr. Smiley has done. And like I said, I'm not judging, because Lord knows I'm not perfect. I'm sure everybody's done something they're not necessarily proud of at some point in their life. But I do think that at some point you have to say, this is not necessarily going to serve anybody well. And we probably should say, Tavis, that probably wasn't a very good idea. And I would encourage others not to go down that road as well, because it rarely ends well. If you are somebody's boss, and that person that you're dating is a subordinate, whether it's man, woman, or whatever, it's going to be a problem if that relationship goes sour. That's my take on it. What do you think, brother? Start with you, Curtis.
Yeah, this goes back to what I've said initially. I think you said it too. Each of these cases are really going to have to be examined, and we can't just every time there is a claim that a person has been alleged to have done something that we go and say, okay, that person needs to resign, or that person needs to lose their job, or that person needs to be smeared, or that person. So it's kind of getting, like I said, you got to hear both sides. I don't know what the other side is on this case. I heard his side. I heard what he said. And, you know, some of the things he was saying will sound logical. But I don't know what had been alleged enough in this case, this particular case, to make an intelligent statement or one that is compassionate to the woman or whatever is being said he did. I do know there are some things happening, too, with the Carolina Panthers owner that now mm-hmm. has hit the fan. And mm-hmm. I think people are starting to get a little more willing to hear what the man has to say, I think. So I think that were going from one extent to the other. We were going to a point where women were not being heard at all, and men were using right. their power to abuse them, and they did not have a place to grieve or bring grievance, or they were being shut out. And then we're going through a time where it looks like every time you're hearing the word sexual harassment, then somebody's either being resigning or something like that. And I'm just saying, I think there is a middle ground where the Constitution comes into play, because we want to make sure, as much as I love justice, as much as I'm about justice, we have to think about what an allegation is. Whether it's a right. sexual allegation, or whether it's an allegation that somebody molested my child, or some allegation that somebody, whatever, we had to understand what an allegation is. An allegation is right. somebody said it. You see what I'm saying? And there are just so many
yeah.
ways that people can say stuff that may not be true. And it's the thing about it too is we had to understand this is not against women, because sooner or later, what's going to happen, men are going to start accusing women or somebody LGBTQ or somebody who might have been bisexual and might have had a woman or somebody come on to them. But it could be
yep.
something that didn't happen. So I'm just saying, we can't just turn it and say this is men against women. We have to keep in mind what allegation is in a country that has for a long time said, you are innocent until proven guilty. And I think the more we get away from that, it's going to become a problem.
And I think that's where the adjustment has occurred this week. We saw it with the Harold Ford case. We saw it kind of like, that's why I was asking earlier, is Al Franken going to say, wait a minute, I may have jumped the gun here. And I think he's
right
at the cusp. He is,
right.
He's got one leg in, one leg out. He's like, I want to see where this thing is going to go before I give up my seat, because before I know it, that pendulum is going to swing back the other way, and I'll be done gave up my seat for no reason at all. So
yeah.
I do believe that, you know, there used to be an old saying, and this I never thought it would come true in our lifetime. There was an old saying that some sins are so great that innocence is not a good enough defense. Like if somebody rapes a child or somebody
mm-hmm.
lynches somebody, it's like that's so mm-hmm. egregious. As long as we kill somebody, that's all that matters. You know?
Wow.
And so that mm-hmm. seemed to be what that was happening almost at the Me Too. Is like these things are so bad that just saying you didn't do it is not, just because you're innocent, that's not good enough. We got to get somebody. And I think
right.
what's happening, I think there has been a rampant abuse of women. Like you say, they've been abused. Women have been silent.
Mm-hmm.
They have been afraid
mm-hmm.
to speak out. And I think these women need to be heard. But at the same time, there are situations and instances where that it is nuanced. It does become, well, it's not, it may, something may have happened, but it didn't happen the way you described it. Right. Well, let's talk about this. Let's hear it. Let somebody who is impartial hear the full story from both sides. So,
right.
And I think that's
exactly.
And I think that's what Harris is saying. He's saying, look,
justice.
Nobody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm always for justice. In other words, the justice to me is blind when it comes to race. It's blind when it comes to gender. It's blind when it comes to religion. Is what truth? What is true? That is what I'm about. What is true? Whether a powerful white man is saying it, or somebody who may be a subordinate is saying it, we always want to get to truth. And the problem in the past is women were not provided an opportunity to be heard. They were being crushed. They were being abused, and they could not even go somewhere fearing that this man that's abusing them would even blackball them, even if they left. They went somewhere. They would not have a refuge. And so we needed to address that, and we can continuously need to address that. But at the same time, as we've all heard, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You got to still have in place a process that will allow both sides to be heard. I hated to have to say that during the time of Roy Moore and Donald Trump. But the thing about these guys is this is what I want to be clear. Donald Trump, we know from his own words he's an abuser and a sexual assaulter. We know that.
Right.
Now he needs to
And Roy Moore is worried.
And Roy Moore.
And Roy Moore is worried. Roy Moore has confessed that he admitted that he dated 14, 16-year-old girls.
So I think what happens sometimes is you get a Donald Trump. Somebody that's just ridiculous, an extremist, a devil. Oh, excuse me. But you know, you get the picture. And then you get somebody like mm-hmm. that, and these people will provoke you to go too far to the other side until you establish a precedent that will come back to hurt poor black people. And my case
well, that's been
with
Donald
that
Trump's
is
M.O.
Exactly. They were agitating.
That's been his M.O.
Like,
yeah.
Like during the civil rights movement, we would agitate people to show their racist, ugly hand. And so when they come across that line, you can see that this is an evil person or this is an evil system. Well, when you have a racist agitator on the other side, they can agitate good folk to come out and uphold something that's unjust because you want to do something so badly to that person. Then you will establish a precedent where all a white woman has to do is say that black man did something to me, and he can't even run for president anymore. Well, all somebody had to do is a Republican man send a woman out whenever you see the next person emerging and make the allegation. Everybody has to understand this is not against anybody. We want truth. We want justice. That's it.
What do you say, Leon? Jump in here.
First of all, Robert, do you know what Mr. Smiley's charges are?
His charges are, from what we have heard, is that he has had relationships with several of his subordinates. And as he said, his counter was that I did not grope, I did not molest, I did not expose myself to anyone. Well, the PBS people did.
That's
it,
what he's doing. He's trying to say he's not Charlotte Rose, but you don't have to go to that extreme. But I'm just saying, I think that's why he's saying that, because they did Charlotte Rose, and we're going to do him too. But I think he's trying to differentiate that's what I got out of it. So go ahead.
He came right out and said, I am no Harvey Weinstein. He said that to draw the line. But Leon, clarify, he has not been formally charged because, and this is where he has the problem, that PBS pretty much went behind his back and started interviewing his former employees, and he didn't find out until one of those former employees called him, and then he asked them what is going on, and only after he got his attorneys involved did they bring him in for a three-hour meeting, and at that meeting they still didn't tell him who was charging him or what exactly the charges were. only in their statement did they finally say that he has been guilty of having or accused of having multiple consensual relationships with subordinates. And they said he had a hostile work environment. And they hinted that maybe the subordinates under his charge were felt that having a relationship with him was really the key to upward mobility. And those were really the three charges, that he was having these consensual relationships, that there was a feeling or in the atmosphere that if they didn't have a relationship with him, it may stifle their growth. And they said he had a hostile relationship. I mean, in other words, they say he was a rough guy to work for. Those pretty much the three charges.
I saw his interview on Good Morning America. And he basically said that, yeah, I did maybe have some relationships. Then the interviewer asked him if there was anybody still employed there, that he was having a sexual relationship or had one with. And he said, yeah, one. Then I heard PBS's comment say something to the effect that he needed to get his story straight because he said he had only one. But he said he had only one still working there. That's what he said. I heard what he said. Like you say, PBS seems to be on like a little hunt here, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a brother down, but like
yeah,
I said, I'm not gonna get into that. As far as what he's done, I mean, if that's wrong, it's wrong. But I mean, I don't know how to respond to that. Huh?
Well, it means a lot of people will be wrong because it happens a lot, and I'm not even passing judgment. I'm just saying I don't think it's prudent. I think it creates a situation that's going to really go bad for you. I would just advise people that you find yourself in a situation where you have to hire for somebody who's working under you. You need to kind of cool that, or maybe somebody needs to change jobs or.
Right.
Because it's not going to work out right. It's not going to end well. I guarantee you,
right.
It's not going to end well.
That's right.
Speaking of ends, man, I just don't know where this stuff is going to end. I don't know where this is going.
I think what he's saying too is, and I think this is something that he's trying to draw a line. That you know, if a person is being receiving unwanted advances versus there's a mutual relationship. And I think that's what he's trying to do. And I think that's something that's going to have to pay. And he's right in a gray area because, like you said, he's into these relationships and you don't know if they are, in fact, based upon, well, if I don't do this, maybe I won't get a job. But the thing about it is we're going to have to get back to what is the law, because all these things that are being said and done and alleged, sooner or later, it's going to have to come back to the Constitution of the United States of America. What does it say about, because see how, where do you draw the line? Is going to become the question, I think, with some of this. And I don't think he's necessarily based on allegations. Based upon what you all are saying here, it's not like somebody came out and said this person is harassing me, and he's telling me if I don't do this thing, I'm not going to get a promotion or he's been abusive sexually or assaulting me or putting his hand under my dress when I come around, or he's coming up to me when I come to the water fountain and he's putting his body up against me. And you know, there's going to have to be a place where you draw the line. And so
you're exactly right.
I think he's trying to draw it. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, brother, hang on a second. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, I want you to think about this, guys. What in the world would you do with these gifts? I'm sure everybody has a few tucked away somewhere. I'm sitting here twirling my rope on a rope around my finger. Got a couple of ugly sweaters over here I'm sitting on. I don't know what to do with this fruitcake. Got the little jelly in it, and that I don't know what those yellow things are. Is that a fruit? What am I supposed to do with this? Anyway, We're going to talk about that when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. What the hell do you do with the gifts you want? You want nothing, absolutely nothing to do with. Brother For Real, be right back after break.
I really did see Mommy kissing Santa Claus, and I'm going to tell my dad.
Yeah.
You're listening to Christmas in My Heart by Candy Station. She's the same lady that sang Young Heart, Run Free. Never Be My Baby and Me or some song she sang. Anyway, guys, you know, sometimes you get that Christmas gift you didn't really want. People really try. And that's why I think as you get older, you've really gotten about everything when you think about it. I mean, what can somebody really get you now that they can afford or is worth spending money on that you really, really need? And some people are just so into the concept of Christmas and buying gifts that they going to buy you something, even if you don't want it. So my question to you, brothers, what do you do with that gift you got that you really, really don't like? It's ugly. It takes up space. Now, I'm gonna give you some options, and you may have some of your own. Here's what my recommendations are, and you can, like I say, if I get this, I'm sitting around here. You're sitting around the tree. You're opening up the boxes, and next thing you know, you're looking to the. You open this bag up. And you say, wow, man, I have a gift. What is it? Let me see. What is it? Then you open up, you break open the paper, you look in there, and then all of a sudden you say, wait, what is that? The next thing you know, you're having a screaming attack. You.
You got something. Wow. Hey, Rob, I use that soap.
You use soap?
Man, I use that soap on that soap.
You use the soap. Hey, wait a minute. Now I think about it. I did show your house once. You had some soap on a rope.
Man, I use it down to the rope. Hey, Rob,
well,
I use it down to the rope. You need to get out.
Right,
I use it down to the rope, man. Yeah.
All right. Okay, here you go. What do you do? You get something you really hate. Do you, one, do you give it back? Suck it up and just say, I'm just going to take it. I'll stick it up in the attic somewhere. I'll put it even in the box and say I'm going to use it one day. Then you never do. Do you go around and you sell it on eBay behind your back? Or do you re-gift it? Anybody know what regifting is?
Yeah, that's give it to your mom.
You turn around and you give it to somebody else. And don't do like I did one day, regift somebody's gift that they gave you. You turn around and forget who gave it to you, give it back to.
Yeah.
So what do you do, Leo? Leon, what do you do
when
you get that gift you really don't want?
Here's what I do, man. I'm going to be honest here for a minute. But the soap on a rope, I use it. Now, you give me some soap on a rope, I'm going to take it and use it. I hang it on the shower.
Okay.
It's pretty cool, man. Well, use it. But some of those other things you get, I just put it up.
Fruitcake.
Put it in the refrigerator. Put it in a closet or somewhere. I just keep it, man. I don't try to give it to anybody else. Because if I didn't want it, I know they didn't want it. They don't want it. Because I take anything.
What about let me ask you this. The people still eat fruitcake. Has there ever been anybody who actually ate fruitcake? And you know, there's actually two kinds of fruitcake. There's actually one that's actually almost like a real cake. And it has like pecans and raisins and walnuts. And it actually has like a cake texture. Then there's the fruitcake. It's like a brick. It's got that red candy in it and some yellow stuff. Does anybody actually eat that? That's my question.
I don't. I don't know what anybody else does, but I don't. I can't speak for them.
I've got those for gifts before, and that kind of brought me to this question. What do you do with that stuff? What do you think, Curtis? You get that gift you don't want.
Yeah, I was listening to you boys, and I'm probably a little different because I don't get that many gifts, and so when I get one, I'd be clinging to that. Like, man, I got a gift. So I'd be like, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to figure out how to use it.
So, okay, eat that fruitcake, man.
I'll be eating that fruitcake. I'll be whatever that thing that Leon got. I done figured out how to use it by the time you see me next. So, it's funny to think about that, but I can't think of a time where I actually got a gift where I just had, you know, to do something else with it. But like I said, I'm not one of those people that get a gift every day. And so I count the gifts I get as a blessing, boy. I be like, somebody gave me something. Let's see what this is. And you boys don't get my re-gift. I keep it.
Hey, Rob.
So,
I bought a fruitcake at the bank one day, man. And I got that thing. I got him home and got me some good cold rice milk with that thing, man. It was pretty good.
You got the
rice milk.
Yeah, what with it?
Some rice milk. Man, that thing pretty good, man.
You got that idea from Lillian, that rice milk, didn't you? Did Lillian teach
you? Yeah, man. Well, you know, I mean, me and Lillian kind of on the same plane on a lot of things. So we kind of, we both realized we were drinking rice milk. We're like, man, you drink rice milk too? Yeah.
I drink soy milk. I eat the rice ice cream and haven't really done the rice milk that much. I had it when I was home in Wadesboro, but. It was pretty good. It was so light and clear and clean.
Yeah, man.
But anyway. So it sounds like the answer to the fruitcake is to get you a good cold glass of rice milk to go with it.
Yeah, don't drink no lactose milk with it. I drink no cow milk with it now, man. You be up all night.
Yeah.
I think I have a fight.
Yeah,
I think either one of those by themselves is going to give you a problem. You make them together, you have to be trouble.
Great.
You
a lot.
You need to
rent
a hotel
room. You might not want to use right there.
You need to rent a hotel room.
Cake with your milk.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to say if you guys have a Christmas wish or Christmas greeting or holiday greeting to our listeners, the world, your whomever. We're just going to go around and clear out. This is the last time we'll talk before Christmas. We will be back the day after. And so we get a chance to talk about New Year's next week. But let's just go around and say our greetings before the holiday. Start with you, Curtis.
Okay. Thank you again, Robert, and to my mother. I love you, Mom. Merry Christmas to you, if you're listening. My sisters and brothers, or wherever you may be. Daniel Gatewood, who's, of course, our youngest brother, pretty much stuck with us very well on Sunday when we had our Justice Ministration service. He's our musician, and he's just been doing some great things as well. To all my brothers and sisters, Merry Christmas. All our family supporters, people, we love you. I do want to just end by the tax bill and comparing it to King Herod. When King Herod found out Christ was born, he started trying to find out where Jesus was so that he could not necessarily bring a gift. He wanted to act as if he wanted to bring a gift, but he wanted to kill him. So he actually committed a massacre, killing babies in the name of the Christ's birth. And when I think about the tax bill, and every time Trump says he wants to bring it to the Americans for Christmas, then I think about that massacre where when you're trying to deprive people of health care, you're trying to deprive people of their health and make it hard for people to even live, and you're calling it a gift while you're giving billionaires more money so that they can use it to oppress and to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's like King Herod of this day saying he's bringing a gift for Christ's birth.
All right. That's very, very profound, brother. Very powerful words. Leon.
Yes. I just want to say to the people who have donated to Holler over the past year, the people who have volunteered their time, like Alex Gaddy, Johnny Pettiford, and many others who have donated their time working for the Holler Center. You know, because we don't get paid, man, at the Holler Center.
Well,
we just donate. You know, now, one of the things that United Way guys always say, we just don't understand how you guys just find your time and donate your time. They're always fascinated by that, you know, that we find people that just donate their time to a cause like that.
Wow.
I just kind of want to thank those guys, man, for doing what they do and encourage, I need to say this, need to encourage parents to care and get involved in their children, because I promise you, they're building prisons for our children, you know. They are building prisons for our children, and we really need to pay attention to that and make them build those prisons for nothing, you know. Get people, make them realize they are building those prisons for people who are waking up and not going to allow their children to be sent to those prisons, because they are building prisons every day for our children. And it's sad, man. I mean, that's what keeps me up at night. That's what keeps me going. When we can save a child, we can change the trajectory of a child's future and lead them to a way where they don't expect our children to go, you know.
Right.
We need to really step it up, man. So my prayer is that we will receive that gift this Christmas.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's my prayer.
Amen.
We receive
all
the gift of consciousness. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen, brothers. Well, I just want to say thank you. First of all, thank to the brothers for making this show a success. We've been on the air now for 10 shows. This is the 10th show.
Wow, man.
It was very prophetic.
Can you give us a clap for that?
Yeah, this is a 10th. But hasn't that time flown, brothers? We've actually done 10 shows.
Wow.
Man, I'm trying to give me Yeah, we actually have had 10 shows. This is show number 10. And, all right, somebody give me an echo over there. This is show number 10, so let's give it up for the brothers.
Hey,
here. Show number 10.
Hey,
calm down. It's all right, no autographs. All right, get out of the way. So that's show number 10. And, and so, like I said, thank you, brothers, Joseph, Leon, Curtis, and for taking the time out of your schedule. I know that anything you want to succeed, any area where you want to excel and succeed, you have to commit the time and make the commitment. And you guys have been great. And, I mean, like I say, very few things in life just fall in your lap. You have to commit the time. You have to actually do it, put in the work. And you guys have put in the work. I mean, I've been doing this kind of stuff about 8 years, so I didn't expect you guys to just jump in with the enthusiasm that you did. So first, like I said, I want to thank you brothers for actually jumping on the brotherhood concept and really making it a success. And we have had some very good numbers, and we have it's been a good little run on show number 10. I want to thank the listeners. Without listeners, of course, you really don't have much of a show. And we've had very good listeners. We've gotten good feedback. We've had people on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter reaching out on the website. And I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank all my family here in the D.C. area, family down in North Carolina. You can't do anything without the family backing you up. So I want to thank the family.
Amen.
And I want to thank the business community, because that's where I spend a lot of time. I spend a lot of time in the business community. And I'm just proud to say that I see the light bulb coming on many of these entrepreneurs, people that have spent their lives in jobs, government, and industry, and they're realizing that if they want to be able to make to help empower our community, then we got to think beyond just getting a paycheck. We actually have to think on building legacies. And I've seen, I mean, I'm actually, my ear is to the ground, my hand is on the pulse. And I see the movement. There are a lot of young people out there that are really picking up the banner. And some of our older and more mature people, once they're retiring, they're getting their retirement age, they're going back in and using that skill, and they're mentoring some of the young people. Some are starting their own companies. And so I just want to say thank you, because That really pleases me like nothing else.
Amen.
And so I'm going to just say, all of you, whether it's the brothers, whether it's the listeners, whether it's the businesses, whether it's industry, whether it's the spiritual community, let's make a difference. Let's go out. Let's not let another holiday come and go. We're just opening gifts and thinking about ourselves and how big of a gift
Amen.
We have under the tree. Let's think about the gift of giving back. And I think we can all do that. And that's going to be the biggest gift that anybody can get, is that satisfaction of knowing that you have actually made a difference in somebody's life.
Amen.
So on that note, we're gonna go ahead and get on off the air here and wish everybody a happy holiday. And when I say holiday,
Amen.
I mean whatever faith you're in, whatever you're celebrating, whether it's Christmas, whether it's Kwanzaa, whether it's Ramadan, whether it's Hanukkah, or if you don't celebrate anything, just this time of year is a good time to reset and assess and to go out and do something good for somebody else. On that note,
that's right.
Feel free to hang around and listen to the rest of the holiday music. This is Brother For Real. We'll be back next week. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Good night,
brother.
Thank you.
Later, brother. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yo. Yo, be on.
I was thinking of
it. Wait, wait.
Sandy came down the chimney. About a half past three. There's all these pretty presents that you see.
Go ahead, say it again, Leon.
I was just thinking at you, man. I was just thinking at you. I was just trying to get the people something to laugh at while they were listening to the music.
Sure been good to me.
Oh, okay. This was one of Joe's favorites. Charlie, what's his name? His name is Brown. Not Charlie Brown. That's a little ball he had with the football. Charles Brown. What's the little guy with the football that the girl keep pulling from under him? That's Charlie Brown.
Yeah,
different Brown. Different Charles. Different Charles.
Hey, Robert.
Yo.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good church at the Olive Church Sunday, man.
What was that?
Yeah, good church at the Olive Center Sunday, man. Good church.
Oh, the Justice Administration.
Man, we had a good church, man.
Y'all had church, huh?
Yeah, man, we had church, man. We on YouTube, man. We did a song.
Oh, it's on YouTube.
On
what
YouTube.
Channel?
You know, regular YouTube, I guess.
How do I? Just Google what? Justice Administration or
Holla? Holla Church. Just got us on there singing. Holla Church.
Holla Church. I'm gonna look that up. Was it the whole service or just the singing?
Long lay the word. Just the singing.
Oh, the
boys
singing.
Song, song. Yeah, man, we were singing, man. You gotta get out of here, man. You gotta come to church.
I thought getting down there on the third Sunday, huh?
Third Sunday. All right.
And the soul felt his word. Yonder brave.
Hey, man, I'm a sing now, brother. Have a good night.
All right, brother.
A new and glorious morn. Oh, fall. Fall down on your knees.
On your knees.
Oh, hear.
Oh, hear.
To the angel falling. Bye.
Oh,
for the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
In my mind,
tender and mild.
to all our family and friends. I want you to remember this line.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Yes. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no war. When we've learned what Christmas is for. When we've found what life's really worth. There'll be peace. Christmas, all our dreams will come to be. Someday, in a world where men are free. Maybe not in time for you and me. But someday, at Christmas time. Someday at Christmas, we'll see a land with no hungry children, no empty hands. One happy morning, people will share. Yes, a world where people care. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no tears. When all men are equal, no man has fears. One shining moment, one prayer away from our world today. Someday at Christmas time. Men will not fail. Hate will be gone and love will prevail. Someday a new world that we can start with hope. Yes, hope in every heart. Someday at Christmas time.
Ooh, yeah.
Someday at Christmas time. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. friends and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town they do. This Christmas, fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. Together this Christmas, fireside.